What's happening?
You're listening to League Podcast, episode 271. I'm Matt Thurston.
Clay Inferno.
All right, well, we're back after a couple weeks. We did record one a couple weeks ago, and there were some technical difficulties. We didn't actually record it. We met and chatted.
There was since then a Skype and call recorder update, and we were the victim of a known bug.
Well, we were the victims.
Because neither side recorded.
Yes.
But we both did the same thing. You 3-3-1 recorded. We hit record.
Yeah. And nada. Like you said, though, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah.
And to be honest with you, I never really thought of it that way. I was just like, fuck, and you're like, yeah, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. And it's true. Sometimes we have a pretty good record for that.
Yeah.
270, it's only happened like 3 or 4 times, probably.
And we do like a redundancy, like we both record it.
Yes. You know,
at least.
Yes.
It's not like the old days when we tried to sync up the tracks. But
yes. Well, that was unfortunate.
Yeah.
But anyway, and plus there was BU commencement last week. I was home earlier than I thought. I probably could have recorded, but I was super tired. So.
I bet.
Congratulations to all those BU grads, but I bet you don't know how much people have to work to make sure you have a nice, easy day.
Ultimate Thurston.
Yeah.
Up there. So, up in there.
There's a lot of pomp and circumstance.
They do it by school and then A through N or M through Z or like.
Well, no, they do it. So every school has their own little ceremony. So.
Because yeah, you wouldn't be, you'd have to do it at Gillette Stadium or something if it was.
They do a big one at Nickerson Field, but they don't call everybody's name. They just say, okay, thanks, and you know.
You know who you are.
But yeah, but when they do the little schools, you get your own, like everybody gets, that's when you actually get your diplomas and you know. So if you go to the College of Communication, you know, the College of Communication has their own little ceremony and. But even like all the little departments, like I did one department, it was like New England history or something like that. There are literally 6 graduates, people getting diplomas, including like masters, you know, doctorates and undergrads, 6 of them. But they wanted the pomp and circumstance and everything. They want all the music and the whole thing. So I was like, all right.
Not for nothing. I mean, you know,
yeah,
the amount of money they pay, they should.
Well, that's true.
My cousin Cam now is he's taking summer classes. This was his freshman year.
Oh.
He's even taking classes over the summer to get caught up for sophomore year.
Well, that's good.
The veritable Boston University.
Oh, but, excellent.
All I know is from my uncle is it ain't cheap is what it says. Like it just says there's like t-shirts I think you can get that say BU, and then under it says, it ain't cheap in Latin.
Oh, well, that's funny.
I don't know if you've seen those, but.
No, I have not. I don't think the school really promotes how expensive it is. Well, anyways, so that's where I was. It's the sad thing is we talked about Civil War 2 weeks ago, and now it's kind of old news, but we liked it, so.
Yeah,
we don't need to get into it again, I guess.
I haven't seen it again yet.
No, I'm
still waiting for a time to see it with Stacy. She's yet to see it. She's been busy.
Oh my!
I went to her. I went out to Davis Square last night. They had she had a burlesque show.
Wasn't yesterday a porch day or something?
It was porch day in Somerville. So we walked by some porches that had some signs on them that said there was a band playing here earlier. Didn't see any actual musicians.
Oh, okay.
But we did return to the scene of the crime of Thurston's birthday extravaganza and got flatbread's pizza to celebrate afterwards.
That was good pizza.
And this time I didn't get gypped. I got sauce on my pizza. I was like, I just want a cheese pizza with red sauce on it. And then you guys get whatever.
What happened with that? Why did you not get sauce? Oh, you're the margarita or something?
No, it was like, it was called like a white, it wasn't called a white pizza because I know what that is. It just said,
right.
It just said, basically, and if, you know, if you're, flatbreads, if you're listening, which you're not, you should fix this on the menu. it says pizza with cheese. I said, that's what I want. And right. I ordered it. And then it was like, but you didn't, you weren't, it was like a.
They were being a little literal there.
It's like a test question that's supposed to, like, trick you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you didn't say you wanted sauce.
So you had to say to the server, make sure there's sauce on it?
I looked on the menu and I said, okay, this one is it, and it says, and includes tomato sauce, so that's it.
That's the one I want.
Next time I go there, I'll try the pepperoni and mushroom. That sounds good.
Mushrooms are...
You and Stacy hate mushrooms.
No, I can't eat mushrooms. I'm sorry. They look like ears. Rachel said...
They're listening to you.
They are. Rachel said, what if I chop them up really, really small? Like, but I know they're there.
But I know they're listening to me.
I know, yeah. I can hear their screams of pain when you chop them up. Anyway, I was in. I'll tell you this story. I hope people don't turn this off before we. Yeah,
they're before not. We get into they're any not.
Comic. I think I want to tell you a funny Uber story. Do you want to hear a funny Uber story?
Yeah, I do, because I think we know that they're not listening.
Yeah, they're not. Which they're not. So, anyways, especially this driver, because he was a bit of a dope. So, okay, so we're going over to our friend's cookout, which was way over in Medford. So we're like,
that sounds like a $50 Uber.
It was a $30 Uber, but we took an Uber pool, which right. I don't know if you've ever done that.
There's no P in our ool. Please keep it that way.
Well, yeah, Uber pool means you can pick up other people on the way.
Can you pee in the Uber?
No, that would be a good option. Especially, I would have done it to this one if you had that option. Okay. So. You know, but it's $10 cheaper. So it was a $20. It went from a $30 ride to a $20 ride. So we were like, all right, cool. And there's always the chance that you won't even pick up anybody. But it's supposed to be on the way, which is another problem with Uber pool, because it's not always on the way. So this guy, we're over by Harvard. I forget where we were. But we were still in Brighton. And he's like, oh, I got to pick up somebody over here by Harvard Stadium. We're like, all right. Seems a little... weird, but okay. So he drives over there, he finds the girl, and English is not her first language.
Oh boy.
And she had selected as her destination, she had also selected like her pickup. You know what I mean? Like she picked the same location as destination and pickup. So the guy's like, look, he's like, I can't do this. And then she's like, well, can I fix? And, you know, he's like, yeah, whatever. So then she turned out she was going over to Harvard Ave, like where the old New England Comics Alston was.
Yeah.
She was going over to that neighborhood.
No.
So it's only like a mile and a half away.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me what happened. Okay. He drove her over there?
He did.
Like no, in the opposite direction.
The opposite direction. He's like, well, it's only a mile and a half. I was like, wait, we're going back? Like, we're going backwards? And he's like, yeah, it's only a mile and a half. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was super pissed at that point. But then I didn't even realize, Rachel told me later, it's like, no, we already paid a flat rate. So, like, our mileage didn't go up. But it's still really fucking annoying that this person... And then he goes and drops her off. And then after that, like, he turns, and then he goes back... And then he takes 93 to get up there, like when he could have just turned around, gone back to Harvard, you know, Harvard Square, and gone up that way. Whatever.
Yeah, so he went down...
he went down Storrow and then 93.
Okay.
He could have just taken Mass Ave.
Anytime you find yourself on Star Drive or on the highway in an Uber or a Lyft, you're getting taken for a ride.
Yeah, it ended up being a 50-minute ride. It was twice as long as it was supposed to be a 25-minute ride, and it ended up being 50. We were in that guy's fucking car for 50 minutes, and he was a moron too. Like he went on this big thing about how if he didn't give her the ride, he would get a bad rating and he would have to justify to his boss or whatever, you know, whoever the hell, the Uber people.
Who cares?
They're like, what are you talking about? People cancel Ubers all the time. Just cancel it and tell her to call another one. Like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
What, and like, what, he got an extra, like, he got probably like, what, like $5 out of her? Oh my God, it was so annoying. And then, like, it was, he was kind of an asshole, too. Like, because we were talking about, like, oh, yeah, you know, it looks like rain. And Rachel's like, well, according to the weather, it's not supposed to rain until tomorrow. And he's like, oh, and you believe in the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, too?
Oh, man.
And she was just like, what? Like, no, what? Like, I think she gave him a bad rating, too.
I've complained. My newest one I like to use is called Fasten. Because I think it's like a, it almost like aggregates all of the different ride services and it gives you the cheapest one. So it cost me $10 to get from here to Harvard Square yesterday, which is like, maybe I might have saved like $2 or $3, but I still saved like $2 or $3, you know? Not bad.
Yeah, right. I mean, Uber is getting out of hand, I have to say. They're always surging. Like, no, it's like, you can't, they just shouldn't even call it surging. They should just say, okay, we've increased the price. Like, because it's so ridiculous. It doesn't even matter what time of day now.
Did I tell you about the guy I got in with my, you know, like my bin, like my Pelican that has like the Shield logo on it?
Oh, yeah. The Pelican.
I brought that
Shield
in.
Shield logo, yes.
Yeah, I brought that in there because I was on my way to work. I needed it for work, you know? This guy's like, oh, what, do you got a bomb in there? And I was like, come on, dude.
No, yes, of course.
And then he was a prick. He was trying to make all the small talk with me and asking me how to get there. And I was like, I don't drive around Boston, dude. You have the GPS. And he's like, oh, just make a conversation. And I was like, well, don't ask me where we're going.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. The GPS tells you where to go. That was the other thing. This guy went the way he wanted to go. Like, what, he went the like, he didn't listen to the GPS.
My guy.
Yeah, I hate when they make small talk though. Unless it's like, hey, what radio station do you want to listen to or whatever. Like, I don't need like the whole rigmarole. But
I complained and they credited me back for that ride.
Oh, good.
So the last two Ubers I've taken, I've decided to go with another ride sharing service because I've had a bad time.
So. Well, yeah, I think Rachel, she complained, and she, I think, hopefully we'll get some credit back, because that was bullshit.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so made it out to Medford, to the barbecue. What'd you
do? Barbecue?
Yeah, we went to
barbecue.
Had a barbecue.
Barbecue.
You know what's kind of funny, I noticed, and I guess I've noticed this, we're 40.
Yes, we are.
We're
young 40.
But it's different. You know, you go to a friend's barbecue. When I was looking around at some of these other people, like my friends, and they're all in their 30s and whatever. But I noticed...
And you're like, I'm 40.
They get a little salt and pepper. And if you're listening, guys, I know you... I'm not making fun of you. I know maybe you might... I know Mark might listen. But so if you're listening, Mark, I'm sorry. I noticed you have a couple gray hairs there.
I thought you were saying, like, they were salt and peppery, like... They were salty.
No, like their hair is getting a little gray.
I know
you're getting the Reed Richards thing over there.
Yeah, I get the Reed Richards, but yeah, you know, it's distinguished. I think chicks kind of is dig distinguished. It. But I think chicks dig that.
I think on men, it's not bad. I mean, I obviously have gray in my beard, so I'm not thinking I'm better than somebody else. I just think it's funny. Like, I really just started to notice it yesterday. I was just like, wow, we're getting a little older, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah. And then plus we all just, you go to a barbecue, we used to like play beer pong and stuff, and literally we were just sitting around like
and the thing is, like, your parents, like your pleasure centers are activated by just sitting and not doing anything, and not partying, not like doing mad shots, just like, can we just sit here and
right.
You know, probably have a couple beers, of course, but like, you know, I'm not like looking to like black out on the Uber ride home.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was, I did, yeah, I, but I literally sat there and had a few beers, talked to people, and then it was time to go. Food. And I left.
Like,
and it was
like, I need to go home at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, well, yeah. We were home. I don't even know what time it was. Rachel and I ended up going back out because we didn't really eat much because there was a lot of people there, so we didn't really get a lot of food. So, like we ended up coming home, and then about 9 o'clock, you know, we're like, hey, let's go get an app. I'm kind of hungry.
Get an app. Get now a little app. Nap.
But you got it's funny. I noticed it. I was just like, yeah, we just kind of, you know, we're getting a little gray. We're getting a little, you know, maybe waistline getting a little bigger. You know, just, you don't do anything anymore. I'm not complaining either. I rather enjoy it.
You get to be when you're my age, Durson, which is
like
a few months older,
5 months older.
You'll see that. You really just start to embrace it.
You know. Yeah, no, I'm fine with it. I just think it hit me yesterday, but
all right. I thought you were saying they were getting salty, like they were like, know what I hate about, you know, and another thing about the people in my neighborhood and the music
and those Ubers.
Yeah, the Ubers,
Uber rides, kids in their Uber. Anyways, all right. Well, let's talk about some positive things. Let's talk about some good stuff. Did you see? We have a new Han Solo.
We do.
They have cast I'm not going to pronounce his last name right. Alden Ehrenreich or something like I think his name is.
And what is he, a Game of Thrones guy or what?
No, he's not. But he was in that movie Hail Caesar, and he was on some other show that I don't remember, but he was Did you see that? The Coen Brothers movie?
No, I really want to, but
it was pretty funny. He was kind of he played this dumb singing cowboy actor guy. It was pretty funny. But there was a great scene with him and Ralph Fiennes, or Ralph Fiennes is trying to direct him. But he was
also known to me as Ralph Fiennes.
Ralph. Yes, well, his name is not Ralph, but okay. So anyways, Ralph Fiennes is the director, and he's saying to him, like, the line was, would that it was so simple. That was the line that he was, but since the guy had this southern accent, he was like, well, that it was so simple. And Ralph Fiennes is trying to get him to say it right. He's like, well, that it was so simple. And he's like, well, that it was so simple. They went on for like 5 minutes, and I just cracked up watching it. So I love Ralph Fiennes. He's a great, I love Grand Budapest Hotel. Did you see that one too?
Oh, yeah. He's great in that.
He's hilarious in that. So anyway, but yeah, he's going to be Han Solo.
And how are we feeling about it?
I'm fine with that. Whatever. Yeah. Well, here's why I'm fine with it. Do you want to know why I'm fine with it?
Yeah, I do.
So first of all, the directors of the Han Solo movie are the guys who did the Lego movie.
Oh, yeah.
But also, Lawrence Kasdan is writing, co-writing the script with his son, apparently.
Oh.
So, yeah. Two Kasdans. So, of course, you know, he wrote Empire Strikes Back, so
yeah,
so there's some pedigree there. So I'm excited for the Han Solo. I don't really know much about the actor, so I don't whatever, I'm not gonna say anything either way. I'm sure he's fine, but I'm happy about
he's the got a, he's got a look he's got a look
yeah he's got a look
he's got yeah. a I could see that, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know, there's obviously nothing, we don't know what it's about, we don't know anything apart from the actor playing Han Solo. Maybe it'll be the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs.
Yeah. Well, we'll see it in 12 parsecs when it comes out.
Yeah, it'll be out in 12 parsecs. Also, I don't know if you saw this. This is a bit of a spoiler warning here if you don't want to know, but there was a leak about the title of the next Star Wars movie. Did you see this?
No, I did not see this.
A spoiler warning, I don't know, skip ahead a couple minutes.
So it's 8?
This is episode 8, yes.
How come they haven't told us what it was?
I didn't think we were waiting for that big, they have a big con.
A celebration?
Yeah. But somehow a poster from that celebration thing got leaked. And it's called, do you want to hear it?
I do want to hear it.
Spill the beans? It's not a big deal. It's called like The Fall of the Resistance.
Supposed. Oh, very well. So,
yeah,
The Empire Strikes Back, The Fall of the Resistance.
Yeah, that's kind of what they were saying in the article I read. It's kind of going for that darker theme, you know. With the So
very well. I mean, I'm excited for Rogue One, of course.
Of course.
And I don't know if you saw my Instagram or Facebook feed, but I did something that I've been meaning to do since I was 10 or 12 years old yesterday. Do you want to know what it is?
I am excited about this. Yes.
Well, let's go back in time to a young young Return of the Jedi fan
that
was getting all of the Star Wars toys that he can get his hands on. It had an X-Wing. It had a blue TIE fighter that made noise with the pew. It made like a, you know, made like laser pew-pew sounds.
Pew-pew sounds, yes.
Yeah, a Millennium Falcon. I had a Darth Vader head, the various action figures. You know, I would say I was a medium-sized collector of Star Wars. I didn't have too many, but I had more than the average person.
Maybe. All right. No, that's good.
And then I was like, how does this pew-pew thing work? Like, how does it work? Then I noticed that there was like screws in it. So, and my dad had like a bunch of tools on his tool chest there. And, you know, he had thin, long screwdrivers that you could use to take the thing apart. And so I took it apart. my blue TIE fighter, I could never get it back together. And I kind of got in trouble. I mean, not like I didn't get grounded, but it was like, do you know how much that cost? And like, you know, they didn't throw that in my face, but they were like, you can't just take stuff like this apart because we'll never be able to get it back together. You know, like I'm sure my parents were thinking that, like,
you know how much this costs.
It costs like $50.
It's actually nice of them not to throw that in your face.
Yeah, but they were like, you know, that's not cool. Like, you're not supposed to take that stuff apart. So, and we never could get it back together. I think we had to end up throwing it.
So it never pew-pewed again. Is what
you're saying. Or we were able to put the case back together, but it never made the music because there was probably springs and electronics in there.
Yeah.
Anyways, so then yesterday, I went to Target and I bought myself a Force Awakens Special Forces TIE Fighter.
Oh my
god. And it was only $20.
Whoa!
And it doesn't make noise, but it does shoot lasers out of it, like little rockets.
Oh!
And it comes with the Special Forces TIE Fighter pilot. It's cool. It's black and red and.
Yeah.
It's battle damage. They used to put stickers for battle damage, but now they're just molded into the plastic.
Wow.
So all the colors just like, it looks like it's painted, but it's not. It's just, that's just how it is.
Wow. Know?
And I love it. So yesterday I went outside and Stacy has like a sort of a sand colored blanket on her side of the bed. So I made like Jakku on the bed. My. And I said, there's trouble on Jakku because much like the blue TIE fighters, the wings come off.
Oh, yes. And I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so you could do that with the new one, too. So I, like, kind of had a crash scene in my BB-8, like, in forced perspective, like Lord of the Rings. Like, so it's like, it's like you can't tell how big BB-8 is, you know?
Right.
He's, like, really big compared to the other toys. So then I was like, oh, man, like, outside looks nice. And there's a little section in my backyard that kind of looks like the Maz Kanata planet with there's like green and like
Takodana is the name of
it. Yeah, Takodana. So it's not like it's not just grass. There's like little plants and stuff. So I did the same thing there. Like I had BB-8 like way in the foreground, but then, you know, like the TIE fighter over there, like it landed and is like, you know, after BB-8. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I was very proud of myself. And then I'm like thinking like what my neighbors are thinking if they saw me out there. Cause I was so psyched to have this thing.
Well, that's great. Good for you. Yeah. All these years later, you have sort of,
and
you're not going to take this one apart.
I promise, you know, to my mom, I promise to my dad, I will not take this apart.
All right.
I'm going to leave it how it is. And then I told Stacy, I was like, look, pew, pew, and I shot the things at her. She's like, I was like, if I was a kid, I would have lost those little laser things. And she's like, you're probably still going to lose those.
Oh.
And sure enough, I go to pick up the toy and bring it inside, and I had taken the lasers sort of had them half sticking out so you could see the green in the picture. And then I like went inside and I looked down, the laser things were gone.
Oh my God.
And I like had to go to the backyard and like find them. And I was like, I almost did really lose them. Like,
I hope your neighbors were watching that, especially going back out and finding the laser. Did I tell you my R2-D2 story? I'm sure.
No, please do. I would love to hear it.
This was when I was in kindergarten. I remember specifically it was kindergarten. So I had gotten, you know, it was probably a Return of the Jedi, like R2-D2, you know, action figure. Just a little, you know, regular action figure. And I was playing with it out in my backyard. And I was, and, you know, it's kind of like you were saying with the stickers. Like, it's probably different now. But back then, like, his front thing was just a sticker.
Yeah, it was a sticker. Yeah.
And I somehow, in the course of events, you know, while I was playing with him, I had, the sticker became a slightly, like, ripped.
Yeah.
And I was like, first day. Like, you know, like, my first day having this thing. And I've already, like, basically ruined it in my mind. Ruined. Right. This is ruined.
Right.
For no, I have never been able to figure out why, even 35 years later, but I took that thing and threw it into the woods.
You did.
I did. I threw it. I guess I was just so mad that I had, right? And then, like, I was
trying to picture
my God.
You as a little
and, like,
kid.
I never found him. Like, I went.
Do you ever see, like, a little kid, like, throw a ball, and then they move their arm really fast, and their arm goes really down, like, by their side, like, really quick. Like, gonna throw it away.
Right. That's probably what happened. In my mind, I, like, chucked it a mile, you know, but it probably didn't go anywhere, because I was, I was, like, five, you know?
Yeah.
In my mind, I threw it so far into the wood.
Did you eventually
get... But I did go looking for it, and I never found him.
Did you eventually get a new R2?
Yeah, I'm sure I did. I mean, but...
What about C-3PO? Did you have a C-3PO?
I never had a C-3PO. You know what? I had the C-3PO from Empire, and you could take his legs off and everything.
That's the one that I had.
Yeah.
And it had a little bag so you could put him on the back of Chewie.
Yeah, put him on the back. That was my favorite C-3PO, definitely.
That's the best one.
Yeah. But yeah, that R2-D2 was never found. But and like I do kind of feel bad about that because I feel like my mother bought me that, and I don't think I ever told her.
Do you have any? Do you have any idea how expensive that was?
I mean, how much was it? Were they? Do you think
$3? No, I don't. Probably $3.
$3-$4.
$3.82 or something. Yeah.
I mean, plus R2 is smaller. You know what I mean? Like he's only like half the size of the other.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, but that's similar to your taking apart the.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The TIE Fighter, me just throwing R2-D2 in the woods.
And I threw this crazy idea by Stacy, and you know, because she's the feminine touch around the house. You know, she gets to make the decisions about like, hey, I'm gonna put this here. No, you're not. And I don't know why I can't, but I'm not gonna fight it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear you.
Whatever. Okay, we'll make it whatever. You think it looks nicer that way? It's fine. So I said, I was like, I think I kind of want to hang this from fishing wire from the ceiling.
Man.
Oh. And she's like, yeah, I'll move the skeleton that's hanging over there and you can hang it there.
So she was on board with that.
Yeah, and like I didn't have to convince her or anything. So it'll be like on the same wall that I have like a print of everything from episode 3 to Force Awakens, like the movie posters. So I'll be on that wall and it'll look fucking sweet, dude.
Fucking sweet.
And these toys are really well made. They're Hasbro has the license now, or Hasbro brought Kenner or something anyway. So
yeah, there was some kind of controversy way back when Kenner and Hasbro's been doing it for a while, I think. But
Hasbro has.
The original ones were Kenner. I forget what the deal was. I remember reading something about that a while ago.
I think they just kind of, they're almost like the Disney, like they bought like all of Kenner. Right. So, you know.
Okay.
They're like a big.
But I mean, Star Wars toys were like a big deal back in the day. That was like the first thing that.
I highly recommend. I think it's on. It might be on Netflix now. That movie, Plastic Galaxy, about collecting Star Wars figures.
Oh, very well.
Very cool little documentary.
I recommend it. I will check that out.
Plastic Galaxy.
Very well. What else is going on?
There was some... Hey, might as well continue with the theme. There was a Darth Vader comic.
Did you read that? What happened in that? I don't remember it now. I read it. I can't remember anything about
it. There's a new story arc.
Right.
And let's see. Darth Vader... The Emperor sort of dresses him down.
Right.
And it's like, you go get me Aphra. Or whatever.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And he's... Yeah, that's right. Emperor is like, I know what you've been doing. And I...
You think you're trying to fool me?
Right. He's like, I don't need to put up with your shit. I got other guys. You know, whatever.
Not Aphra. Silo.
Silo, yeah.
Like, that's a mustachey guy.
Yeah.
So he... He finds him. He does his Darth Vader thing with him. But there was a very cool backup story in here, and like just the triple zero, like the evil C-3PO.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
the evil C-3PO. First of all, continues to be hilarious.
And then he is pretty hilarious.
And then in the back, there's a backup story drawn by fan favorite Mike Norton.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But Kieran wrote it, and then it's basically the secret origin of 000 and BT. So it tells you like how they became to be such evil droids, and like what sets them apart from, you know, how they say like BB-8 is like a one of a kind droid.
Right, right.
So are these droids too. Like they were just like, they were created for sort of nefarious purposes, and then, you know, then they were trying to hide them, you know, like that once the Empire or whatever like built them, they were like, oh, we've made a huge mistake.
Yeah, it's like, we created this droid that can blow things up anytime it wants,
and he's like, oh, you're the legendary 000.
That's cool.
This Darth Vader comic continues to please me.
Yes,
and especially when they do like an Anakin Skywalker flashback, which I thought I was going to hate, but now I love it.
Yeah, it's better than the movies, so yeah. I like it too. I mean, it's fine. They take the story, obviously, but it's always better.
It's just a little bit. It's just a little taste of it.
Yeah.
You know, to recognize that it's canon.
Right.
Be like, this is, you know, Anakin is Darth Vader. That wasn't that long ago in this Darth Vader's life, you know?
That's true. So, yeah. Very cool. I do continue to enjoy that book as well. I have to say, the actual Star Wars book, the last couple issues have been a little flat. I'm not as into it with the new art. What's his name? Lionel Yu. I don't know. Just not feeling that art on this on that book. It's fine. It's just not as... Yeah, I like Darth Vader better. That's all I'm saying.
Me too. I mean, I think he's the... Yeah. He's the driving... Force.
Yeah. He's the straw that stirs the drink. Definitely. Hey, you know, I want to talk about something else too, away from Star Wars for a second, but, you know, comics.
All right.
Sorry, but there was All New Wolverine came up.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to talk about that as well.
All right. So, there.
I didn't see it. You know why I didn't see it in the store? Because of the gigantic Civil War II logo that's as big as the All New Wolverine. I went back to go get it when you reminded me that I didn't pick it up.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, no wonder I didn't see it. Civil War II is the same size as All New Wolverine.
Did you buy that Civil War Zero? I did not. I had it in my hand, and I was like, this is not going to be good.
I like to read those when they're done and all collected.
Yeah, it'll probably take like a year and a half.
Yeah, whatever. I can wait. I mean, you
know. Oh, right. Exactly. Because like the first one took forever. It was 8 issues. It should have been once a month, you know?
Like Secret Wars. I enjoyed the 7. Secret Wars, but I read it like way after it was done. And then same with Age of Ultron. Like I read it like a couple years later, and I was still, I liked it, but.
Yeah, I liked it better when I read it the first time. I was like,
if you're getting it in issues, so long. It's infuriating.
Yes, it is infuriating. It takes me right out.
And then you're oh, maybe I need to grab this tie-in, or maybe I don't. I don't know. You know, I guess I'll get the Hercules tie-in
right.
for whatever reason, even though I don't read the book. You know?
Yeah, I'm not. They're not gonna drag me into this thing again. Like just like they did with all these other times, like Fear Itself. And all
I'm
those
done being fooled.
Yeah, I will not be fooled. But anyway, so all new Wolverine. It's a new story arc, and this one too. They're looking for. It's called The Box, and they're looking for this ancient box, and her clone, and Shield, and they're all looking for this thing, and they don't know what's in it, and know what it's about.
And number 25 with chicken. With all the flavor of number
25. Oh, that's right. That is pretty funny. They order Chinese food. And I like how Maria Hill knows exactly what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so here's the funny. So, like, they reveal that the box, what are they, there are eggs in it, right? Or whatever?
I think it's like a pheromone scent.
Okay,
like
yeah,
a synthetic
yeah.
one to,
and then it's
spoiler
tracks,
warning.
Yeah.
It attracts
the Fin Fang Foom.
Yeah.
Who is this giant dragon dude, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's in that book. A few months back, he was also in the Drax book, mm-hmm. out in outer space somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he had a thing, and he was, like, Drax was going to fight him, but then, like, he found out, like, Fin Fang Foom was just trying to protect these eggs that were supposed to hatch other little dragons, and then the eggs were so old that they were already dead, and nothing was gonna. And so then Fin Fang Foom got really sad, and blah, blah, you know. Now that was just like 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And then if you go back a couple more months, the same guy, the same big dragon, was in Totally Awesome Hulk. It's like, what the fuck? Where's the creativity here? Why do they keep using this stupid? He's not even a good villain. He's got a really dumb name.
Yeah, I wonder why.
And he's in three books, like, in the last, like, 6 months.
I mean, I didn't read those other books, but, like, to me, I see the novelty of it when it's like, oh, I didn't expect this old, you know,
yeah.
Silver Age villain to show up. You know, he's an Iron Man villain. Like, sometimes they do something cool with him in Iron Man, but, you know.
Well, he was in Thor a lot, too, back
then. Oh, yeah, yeah.
But what the fuck?
It's cool, like a little nostalgia thing. But yeah, if they're doing it,
that much. Isn't there some cross? Isn't there some editor who's supposed to be like, no, you can't do that. Then we just use him. You know what I mean? Like that's isn't it weird to use the same villain?
That would seem
that
to
often
be like
in three different books.
Comic book editor 101 to be like,
let's see.
You know, isn't there like a what do they call it on like a movie set when they. Like the continuity people or like the
right.
the I people, the set like dresser people or whatever they do. But like, isn't that the job of the editorial department?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Don't they have like a,
I think
you know,
that is
a flow chart or like some big whiteboard or like an Excel spreadsheet somewhere.
Yeah. Like it's like, okay, this villain just appeared in this book. You know what I mean? Like doesn't make any sense. Like, oh, that it just really annoyed me when
and
I
it's
saw
not
it.
Like it's, it's not like they're like, put a lot of Fin Fang Foom because we're going to sell a bunch of toys because he's in the upcoming movie or something. It's like the opposite of that. They're like,
yeah,
everybody's
it's like it's
you know, it'd be cool if I put in, you know, the living vampire in this because, you know, we don't see him that often, you know, like,
right.
And then like, but four different writers have the same idea. Like,
yeah, but it's so, shouldn't somebody be reading these and going, hey, you got to change that up, man, where they just used him. Like, what the hell is going on? Yeah. Is he? Are they making a Fin Fang Foom movie like standalone?
Yeah, that we don't know.
You know, maybe.
Gotta say though, despite that criticism, I do enjoy this book a lot.
I do enjoy All New Wolverine. Yes, very much. I don't enjoy Drax or Totally Awesome Hulk anymore. I have to admit, I'm actually boffing those or whatever, killing them.
You killed those.
Killing those. But I will continue to buy All New Wolverine. It's a great book. It's a great I like the idea.
It looks like we're gonna get Old Man Logan next time. So it's like the closest thing we'll get to a real Wolverine is that.
She doesn't believe that he's Wolverine, she just thinks he's a crazy old man from another. So
she's like, that's not my Wolverine.
Right.
It's like her prime comic book store. It's like, that's not my prime.
You shop at another store, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, that'll be interesting. So, hey, speaking of X-Men, that Apocalypse, I read some bad reviews. Have you?
I will say that Stefan from Forces of Geek, my editor,
yes,
he came in to Boston all the way from Providence for a special screening of it one Monday, a week or so ago, and then left the theater, and he never says that many negative things, and he was just like, before he posted his review, like, his Facebook status was, wow, that was bad.
Yeah, I think
he and then his like, review was
it made like, me wish for Brett Ratner again. Yeah, who directed X-Men 3, which is highly, you know, like, it was universally regarded as a terrible movie. So.
The iTunes, not an iTunes person, but I just picked up the X-Men trilogy on iTunes for $14.99. So that's $5 a movie.
Well,
you know, not bad.
The third one is bad. It's bad.
X2 is great. I watched
X2 is a great. It's still one of my
favorite. And then I watch, and then I'm like, yeah. Well, before we started the call, I was just finishing up X2 for another time.
X2 is great. But here's the thing, and I don't know. Obviously, I'll still see it, Apocalypse, anyway. Here's my thing with it, and I don't know if this is true, but the trailers are very Jennifer Lawrence heavy. You know what I mean? There's a lot of mystique in these trailers.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if obviously she's a big part of all the movies, but I feel like the movies really need, like, they work best when it's Charles and Magneto, you know?
Yeah.
It's really their story. And I get Mystique is part of that, but I think they only make her bigger because she's Jennifer Lawrence. You know what I mean? Like, because it's the actress playing her.
Right.
And if you put too much on that, you know what I mean? She's not that, she's all right, you know, but she's not. Like, I don't know, you know, like, it's, I'd rather see Charles and Magneto. I think that's the real story. Yeah. We'll see. I don't know. Obviously, I'll still see it, like I said. But
and
yeah.
I mean, I gotta say, they really set the bar pretty high with Days of Future Past for old and new X-Men fans, for X-Men fans of the comics. Like, you know, it was... It was masterful. It was great. It was the Marvel Civil War of the X-Men. It was just like so good.
Yeah. But that's why my hopes were high for that they could just do it again. And maybe you're right. Maybe the bar was too high there.
And I personally, like, when my friend Vass was still, we were still all reading comics, like, when I was in college, but I kind of stopped. But he was buying, like, new issues of Apocalypse when it was coming out. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really that interested. I didn't really like the art. I didn't really, like, understand the story or, like, know much about Apocalypse or really care that he was a villain, you know?
Right.
I'm sure it's a great story if I were to go back and read it. But when it was coming out, I just wasn't into it. So when they were like, ooh, it's Apocalypse, it's just kind of like, yeah. So now they're, like, rehashing, like, the 90s, you know, Jim Lee X-Men kind of
vibe. Yeah, I know, but the 90s Marvel was not good, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that might have been one of the highlight, you know.
Yeah, I remember buying some of them because I thought, like, well, it's interesting. They're shaking things up a bit, but it was, I don't know. I don't remember much about it now. It's like, yeah, it wasn't great. 90s Marvel just was better. It was rough. When you look at them now, you're like, ooh. These issues are bad. All the art looks exactly the same. They're all trying to copy, like, Jim Lee and and those guys. So I just ugh. So, but hey, whatever. I hope it does well. I hope it's better than they say, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I want to go into it with knowing that there was some skepticism about it, but not like want to hate it immediately. But I'll leave my fidgets and sighs for my own.
Right,
if I'm going to dole those out on my own pace, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'll go in with an open mind, but I also have a friend he's overseas now, and so they get it first, wherever the hell he is. I don't remember. He's in Africa or something or some place, but they get, you know, it gets released over there first, and he saw it, and he just said, "Yeah, it was not good," and I trust his opinion, so I don't know. Maybe not. I mean, maybe he doesn't know what he's talking about. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I get it, like, makes me, like, kind of sad, you know, when it's like a comic book movie and it's not good.
Yeah.
Because I want to like it so much, you know.
It's true.
Want to like it.
But I mean, if they're making so many of them, I mean, they're not all going to be good.
Like, you know, Batman versus Superman.
Batman versus Superman.
You know, like, it just made me sad. And, like, it even made me, like, more sad that, like, I liked Batman in it, but I didn't like the movie. Like, it's that doesn't make any sense.
I know. I liked Batman. He was the best part of the movie.
And then how could, I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Well, because it was a bad story, and Lex Luthor was terrible, and it was really slowly paced, and Zack Snyder's not that good.
And there, if you look at the news stories, they're like nuking him.
Yeah, what's going on there?
It's hard to keep up with, but they're like they're gonna get rid of Zack Snyder. They're bringing in Geoff Johns as more of a forceful DC thumb. So I mean, that's good because he's also involved with the TV shows, you know, like say what you will about Geoff Johns, but I mean, he knows the continuity and the story and like will make it interesting for comic book fans to like stuff.
Right. So like, is Zack Snyder out like, or has he just been reduced a little bit? Like, I think
he's been reduced and they stopped development on some of the movies and stuff. And
wow. You
know, yeah. I could have this wrong.
So, like, these are really bad? Like, did they, I mean, do they understand? Like, not only is it bad, I don't think it made as much money as they hoped either. So, I think that's one of the reasons, probably, too. Yeah. They made a lot of money. Yeah. But I think they were expecting more.
Well, they expected, like, a second, third, fourth weekend out of it, and they only got the first.
Yeah. You
know? So.
I mean, you're right. It's sad. I shouldn't laugh. I sometimes it's,
you should laugh, because it's like...
I will laugh.
Look at these fools. This isn't like
the fucking little engine that could. You know what I mean? This is Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it's like one of the biggest companies in the gigantic world. And like, you know, like look what Disney has with the same assets. You know, like,
come on. They're doing well. And
maybe Disney has more money than Warner, but like, does it matter really at that point? Like,
yeah, when you have billions and billions, what does it matter?
Because the way I was thinking about it too was that I read some story about Apple or something today, but I was thinking, like, if you're a big company, you can buy the talent that makes the thing you want to make that's good, you know, like, so
yeah, that makes sense.
You can buy,
right? So when you're Disney,
you can buy the people you want to do it, you know, like.
No, yeah, you can get Joss Whedon to make your movies. You can get Kenneth Branagh to direct. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to have Zack Snyder do them all just because whatever. But like, you can hire the right people.
So, it's almost like they should do like a comic book thing. Like, you know how like when it's like somebody gets like signed, like when Jim Lee like years ago, you know, signed exclusive to DC. You know, like oh, you steal this guy away from this thing and have him, you know, it's like, you know, do you call on the Russo brothers? Probably a bad example, but like have them
kind of do that. You sign like a multi-picture deal a lot, you know what I mean? Like,
but
what happened with Bryan Singer, because he was working for 20th Century Fox on the X-Men movies, and then after two, he decided he wanted to make Superman.
Yeah.
So he left.
Like, yeah.
And then he made that shitty Superman Returns. And then he came back, thank God, to do First Class and Days of Future Past. But
only as a producer on First Class.
That's right.
But good that he was there to guide it, for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Because he does have a handle on. But that was kind of why X-Men 3 was so bad, because he bolted like right in the middle of it almost, and then somebody else.
At least X-Men 3 is funny.
Is it?
Yeah, it's like kind of funny. Like there's funny parts in it, like the truck and Juggernaut and stuff.
Oh, Juggernaut's really. I don't really think he's that. I mean, I like.
I know it's a bad movie. I recognize.
Hugh Jackman is always fun to watch, obviously, and so is Ian McKellen, obviously. But you know, just overall, they just tried to put too much in that movie.
Yeah. What is DC gonna do now? What are they gonna do?
I don't know. That is a really good question. Well, maybe they'll do what Marvel did. They'll get some people who, like, some talent, like you said, like people who can write, you know, not that, what's his name? Goyer, right? He wrote Batman vs. Superman. David S. Goyer was the guy. Because he wrote some of the Dark Knight movies, too, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe you bring back what's his name? Shit. I can't remember. Why can't I remember anybody's name? Huh?
The Nolan brothers?
Yeah, bring back Christopher Nolan or something. Well, I think he's done with Batman. He's I told my story. I'm good. Yeah. Maybe I'll just get Ben Affleck to direct it. We talked about that once.
Yeah.
If he's going to do a Batman movie, he should make a Batman movie.
Isn't that the plan, or we just make that up? Wishful thinking.
I think we just made that up. But that would be something. I mean,
yeah.
At least they know enough, you know. Okay, we got to hit the reset button here because this is it's not going
to
work.
And they have to just like adjust it for like whatever is going to be, you know, Suicide Squad and like, you know, just this Batman vs Superman introduces the idea of the Justice League, but maybe there's a good 3 or 4 movies to come out afterwards that can be better. I hope
I mean, they're obviously still going to make Justice League, but maybe they're just going to, I don't know.
But the Batman solo movie, the Wonder Woman solo movie, I mean, like, I hope those nail it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope so.
I don't really need to see a Cyborg or a Flash solo movie, to be honest.
No, I don't need to see those either.
I see the Flash every week, and it's awesome.
I don't need to see Aquaman either. I don't think anybody else does.
Yeah. Oh, and big news for us TV fans, if Josh was here. Supergirl coming to the CW for season 2.
Yeah, what happened there? Did it get...
CBS canceled development, and I think CW, or the influences, because it was the same creative team, like Greg Berlanti, was like, well, why don't I just do it over here? And CW was like, totally, you should just do this under... Because it was weird, because it was sort of, seemed like it was in the same universe, but they separated it, so it was like on Earth 75 or whatever. But the tone of the show and how the relationships were, and it was like a CW show on CBS. So it totally makes sense to bring it over there. And it'll probably do well.
Yeah, probably. All right, well.
And then she gets to keep her time slot, which is like Monday at 7. So
7?
7 or 8, maybe. Oh, maybe okay. It's 8.
Probably 8, right? Nothing's on at 7, is it?
It's like Jeopardy and... Wheel of Fortune. I said 7 because I'd always leave work at 7, so I made sure I got home on time. Like extra work for me on Mondays. No siree, Bob. Supergirl time.
Supergirl is on. Well, but you actually watch it when it's on. You don't.
Yeah. Because another problem with CBS was they're not on Hulu, and they were gonna launch their new thing with their Star Trek TV show and stuff. Whereas like another app you have to pay for. So, and if we missed it, I would just buy it on Amazon for $3 for the episode. Yeah. But I saved myself $3 plus, you know, get the excitement of watching it while it's on by just watching it when it's on.
Yeah, there is some excitement watching it while it's on. I will say that too. Hey, speaking of that, I don't know if you're interested in this or not, but Preacher is tonight, the first episode of Preacher. Oh,
very well.
I thought the trailers looked pretty good. I haven't read that many. I actually have the first two trades, but I haven't read that much of them yet.
I'm about the same. I maybe read the first two trades.
I've read like 4 issues or something like that. But it's really like violent. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, The Walking Dead is pretty violent too. But I wonder how they're gonna. Well, whatever. I mean, it's AMC. So
I think I'm it'll sure be good. Seth Rogen produces it or something?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. A new show, a new comic show. I'll tell you what I did. And I've never done this before. And, maybe you can give me your take on it. So I'm hoping that the show is a hit. Obviously, because I want it to be a hit anyway. But I bought on eBay the first... time I bought a graded comic.
Very.
A graded copy of Preacher number 3. 9.6.
I know where this is going. You took a, taking a gamble here.
I'm taking a gamble.
Flip it. You're like flipping a house.
I'm going to flip it if the show is a hit. Or, I mean, I don't know. The question is, like, how long, you know, like, how long do you wait? And, like, when do you sell it? It's really like it's like stocks, you know?
Regardless, it's a good investment because already the comic book is held in very high regard, despite the TV show. It's already a good issue to own.
Yeah.
Number 3 of.
I'm sure. I mean, and I think I got a good price, you know?
Yeah.
But I hope, I mean, if you had, I wonder what Walking Dead number 3 graded would, you know, would be worth now if you went to sell it. If you had it, if, you know, it'd probably be worth like a couple hundred, right? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was a smart investment.
I mean, there's a chance it'll tank. What if it's like Fear the Walking Dead and it's not that good, you know?
But it won't matter because it's still worth the pages it's printed on because it's an amazing comic book and people are a huge fan of it.
That's so, true.
So comic
hopefully
book,
I'll be able to flip it regardless. But I'm
yeah, because you could probably flip it regardless or just hold on to it like as a comic book fan because comic book people will want that.
Right. Well, we'll see. I've never even held the graded
card. Very well.
This is new territory. It was weird though. And after I was doing that, I was thinking like maybe I have a couple that are actually worth money. You know, like maybe I should. I've never wanted to do it before because I thought like, well, that's a waste. But I don't know. Like, as not that there's money in comics, but if you have a couple that might be worth something, why not just slab them and see? You know, like
yep, slab them and see.
Slab them and see. I don't know. It's an interesting. Well, we'll see how this one goes, and then if it goes well, maybe I'll slab them. Slab a couple. Like
slab,
I have the
profit. Slab it.
I've never really thought about it. I mean, do you have any like classic books that you think are worth? You just kind of just like to read them.
My books that are like that might be worth money or. Just sort of
like wall part books.
Part of my collection, you know. I don't know if they're worth much money to other people. You know, like I have G.I. Joe number 2, which was always the highest priced G.I. Joe comic, like when we were growing up, like in Mile High Comics ad in G.I. Joe. You know, it's like really kind of rare. Like G.I. Joe 26. You know, I don't have a bunch of, you know.
The Silent Issue, you mean? Do you have that?
Yeah.
That's pretty highly regarded. The first Storm Shadow and everything.
Yeah. You know, or no, like it's not the Silent Issue. I do have that one, but it's like the origin of Snake Eyes. It's like the orange.
Oh, cover. Yeah. Oh, I had those at one point, but I probably like read them to shit.
But yeah, I mean, they're in Mylar, and you know, I've been taking care of them for a long time. But it's not, I've never bought one off the wall or anything like that.
Well, New England Comics, Brookline, Prime, My Earth, just bought somebody's collection from like, and they had all these 70s books. And I bought this, I guess it was an annual technically, but I think this was before they started calling them annuals. But Amazing Spider-Man annual, I guess, number 3. They just called it King Size Amazing Spider-Man. Nice. And, but he fights the Hulk and the Avengers are in it. And it was $16, plus it was 20% off. So I'm like, I'll buy this. It looks cool. It's a cool looking cover, you know, like.
Very well.
It probably won't be worth anything more down the road, but it looks good, you know what I mean?
So, yeah.
I don't know, I'm starting to think about that a little bit more these days, just for like, yeah, you know what, I, you know, I'm not as I'm not like rich or anything, but I you know, I'm making a little more money now than I used to, so
I can invest. You're 40 now.
Oh, well, they say in your 40s you make more money, you know, you make the most money in your whatever, but
nice,
you know. Maybe it's stuff that I've wanted to, and I was like, oh, I don't have the money, you know. And it's pick it up. It's a comic book, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so yeah. I hope that the show is a big hit, though. That's for sure.
Me too.
Because.
Looks good so far. Reasons. Signs of pointing that looks good.
Yes. I hope it is. What else? You got anything else over there? Any other books you want to talk about?
I read some books. I read the Iron Man books, which are continue to be good. But the Batman 52, which is the last issue.
Oh, yeah. That was a little, like...
It was a one-shot.
Yeah. Whatever. I get it.
Riley Rossmo on art. I kind of like the art. I like the story.
Yeah, it was all right. That was one of those, like, oh, thank God Batman's around, right? Or what was it? Alfred...
Yeah,
oh, the journal, like, right?
Yeah, it was like a kind of like a hybrid between like the Gotham TV show and like, you know, modern day Batman. That's how I looked at it. It's like he Bruce Wayne and him being like kind of a brat to Alfred, but Alfred really teaching him a lesson, and you know.
Yeah, Alfred wrote something in his journal, right? His rules journal or whatever.
Rule number 52.
Right, it was 52, of course.
Yeah, remember, spoiler warning, remember that your parents will always be proud of you. But he, in a surprising move, the last page of this Batman comic is just a splash page of Batman swinging out over a rainy Gotham City with some blimps in the background.
Yep.
With one lonely caption over his head that says, "And I'll never stop."
Yeah.
Real surprising way to wrap up a Batman run, let me tell you.
Well, it's kind of funny because literally next week, well, this week, I should say.
Rebirth.
That, well, I guess that came out a couple weeks ago. But yeah, next, it's all Rebirth is this week. So they're not even literally giving it time to...
They're like, and that's the story of Batman 52. Yeah,
that's the story of Batman, and now here's a new story of Batman.
It's like, it starts with him brooding over a rainy Gotham, looking down,
instead of
thinking
swinging, he's standing next to a gargoyle, you know, or whatever. But we'll see. Obviously, New England Comics is going. They're going all in on this.
They're going whole hog.
They're going all in on this Rebirth because they're having midnight release parties.
Wow!
At all of their stores. So if you're awake at midnight on Tuesday / Wednesday, head on over to your local NEC and pick up. I think they're on sale, so it's not just like buying them first. You do get a discount.
Yeah, it's it's like when my sister waited in line to get Use Your Illusion 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
Came out, yeah.
I think they did it for the last Harry Potter book, right?
Harry Potter!
Yeah. And of course, we went to the Scott Pilgrim release party
a
couple years ago.
Was that at midnight, too?
Yeah, that was at midnight.
When we were in our 30s.
No, we were younger men then.
Yeah, so being in my 40s, don't know if I can make it to this one.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't think so. Maybe. Midnight is a little...
We're playing that one by mushroom ear, as they say.
Mushroom?
Yeah, because you said mushrooms look like ears.
Oh, I see. As we say around here, yes. But, hey, whatever. I mean, maybe I would be a little more excited if DC didn't do this every, like, couple years.
Yeah, it's like even after New 52, then they were like, Convergence, and like, now it's DCU, YOU.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, all right.
They just keep rebranding and redoing everything.
Rebranding and rebooting and more of the same, always. Thanks.
So, yeah, maybe I would be really into it. I mean, I am excited because John Romita Jr. will be on Batman, and he's one of my favorites, and so that's good.
And I got to say, also, I thought of something this morning, 9 months into Miles Morales' Spider-Man, that I am actually glad that there's not an Ultimate Universe, and that the characters I like are now just in one universe. I'm glad that Marvel did the reset a few months into it. Now I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, yeah, this kind of makes sense.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know. I guess I don't know. Certain characters, I mean, I'm glad, yeah, they did that. But at the same time, I'm thinking like there's too many Spider-Mans. I feel like, you know, I don't know. There's something, he used to be very unique. Like, cause even as a hero, he was like different. Like, and he was his own guy. He was never an Avenger until like he was a few years ago. But like back when I was younger, you know, like it was, Spider-Man was always kind of a part. Like, well, even when I was in my like, you know, aughts, whatever the hell they call it, you know, when I was like, you know, 7, but whatever, Spider-Man was always different. He was always a little, he was set aside, and like there was one, he was very unique. There was Spider-Woman, but even she was like, she had kind of different powers, and they never connected, like they never really hung out.
Yeah.
And now there's like, it seems like there's a lot of spider people, and they have this Web Warriors thing or whatever, you know, it's like, and they're doing this Spider-Women storyline now, which is kind of weird. I mean, it's okay. I actually like the Spider-Woman mom Jessica Drew comic. I do like that. But it's just too many spider people. Like, it was kind of, now there's Silk and there's Spider Gwen.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's just like, come on, man. Like,
come on. Come on. Yes.
The idea was supposed to be Peter Parker became Spider-Man by accident.
Yeah.
And, you know, but now there's all sorts of spider people. It's just, it's too much. Here's another funny thing. Okay, here's another funny thing. Speaking of Spider-Women, there's like a, it's a story arc now, Spider-Women. And so I'm reading Spider-Woman, which is part of this Spider-Women story arc, and she's teaming up with Gwen and Silk and whatever. So, like, they have this thing. So Gwen, Spider-Gwen, who is just called Spider-Woman, because Spider-Gwen is a, would be a stupid superhero name. But anyway, she loses her powers, and she wants to get them back. And so the guy who is Jesse Drew from an alternate universe, like the alternate universe version of Jesse Drew, has this thing, and he can give them back. And Jessica Drew takes the thing and says, are you sure you want to do this? You could go back and have a normal life. And I thought, wow, that's cool. That's like a great idea. You know, like, would you be Spider-Man or would you be a spider superhero if you didn't have to be? You know, like, you could just go back to normal, just live a normal life. And I thought, what a great idea. And it was near the end of the book. And I'm like, oh, so this is going to be like the cliffhanger. And she immediately takes the thing and gets her powers back. I was like, what? There's no drama there. Like, there was no thought put into it at all.
Yeah.
Gwen just was like, nope, I want to do it. I was like, oh, well, that's kind of disappointing. I thought that would be a neat little story arc or something, a neat little twist. Like, oh, I don't.
Well, like, I thought about it in the next issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So, I do like the book, but that was a little weird. I don't know. Anyways.
Very well.
Very well. Anything else? Or
I'm good. We're good. We can wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Do you remember we had Ken Reed on our show?
Oh, that's
a couple episodes back in the feed there. Ken Reed's iTunes chart, his album, The Vanity Project, came out, and he was number two in iTunes yesterday.
Oh, he's number two. Because he said if he reached number one, he was going to eat that huge sundae.
Yeah.
Did he do it?
I don't know, because that was just yesterday, but he's still got some time. But anyways, I encourage you people, if you enjoyed that, you're friends with Ken, you maybe you're a new listener, which you're not, but you know, his CD release party is at the Middle East on Friday. So
please
come check it out, support Ken. Funny guy. And I listened to his record yesterday. It's I bought it. I wanted to contribute to that Sunday eating. Get his record, come visit him, and enjoy laughing. Not enough laughter in the world, they say.
That's true. There is not. We need more laughter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, Ken is a funny guy. So if you go to the thing, he'll be selling them there as well, right?
Yep, and he's got a bunch of cool merch and
he's
stuff.
He's got new, yeah, he said there's different things, like different, like, exclusives.
Yeah, shirts and pins and a donut box and all sorts of crazy stuff.
A donut box. Very well.
Yeah.
All right, well, good on him.
Make your own dick in a box.
All right, yeah, check that out. Check out leaguepodcast.com, you know, for all this stuff. And if you're over there, click on the links and we get a little kickback. So help us out.
And anything we're selling on eBay is on our eBay page as well.
Good call. I'm selling an original Luke Ross Captain America page right now, actually.
Yeah, so you never know what you're going to get up there. Comic book codes.
Yeah, a lot of codes.
Original art, a boot. Just one boot.
A boot.
Yeah, a jacket.
Is that coming? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
For sure.
Very well. I can't wait. Sell a boot. All right, yeah, but definitely a bit on that Cat America original art, you know, because...
Luke Ross.
Shit, yeah, Luke Ross. It's a really cool picture of Falcon flying around, so...
Wowza.
Yeah, get on it. All right. Thanks for listening, if you did, but you didn't. And, talk to you soon.
Later. Like, oh, you didn't say you wanted sauce.